Well, we are kicking off the Meet the Candidate series with a candidate to be the next Beltrami County Sheriff, Bidel Duran. Welcome. How's it going today? And how has you been kicking off this campaign, I think, longer than anyone else has?
I think it's one of those things, if you're going to do something, you're gonna do it. You know, once I announced, I said I was going to do this, and I was going to do the best of my abilities. So, I mean,
I've been seeing that you've been doing a lot of different events, like meeting the people and stuff. How have those been going?
Pretty good. It's been actually kind of a journey so far. I've met a lot of good people. I'm starting to get the feel for what the concerns are in the community for law enforcement, and you know, it's just getting out there, just meeting all the good people that I have been. It's been quite a remarkable journey so far.
So let's talk a little bit about your background. How long have you been in law enforcement?
So I've been in law enforcement since 2013. I got hired with the Bemidji Police Department in January 2013 and was working with the Bemidji Police Department until June of last year, and then I transferred over to the Hubbard County Sheriff's Office as a narcotics investigator down there. So,
all right, and what sort of educational background have you undertaken?
I got an associate's degree in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I have a master's degree in criminal justice leadership, and I'm currently attending Walden University for a PhD in public management and leadership. So,
well, that's a lot of schooling. What what have you found most rewarding as you keep going back for more degrees?
Well, it's what you do with them. You know, if you want to go to school, you can go to school and just get your degree and come and, you know, come back with it, hang it on your wall, and if you don't do anything with it, it's just there. So the reason why I want to actually further my education is to take it a little bit farther, you know, maybe have an ability to reach a little bit more people and have, you know, conversations with people in higher educations around the world, or not, you know, around the world, but different things that people can give me. And that's one of the biggest things for me and for my education piece is being able to meet and network out. That is what I'm using for my, my education here is just to continue my love for law enforcement and have a higher understanding of law enforcement it is. And having this schooling has actually opened up a lot of doors for me and getting a lot more feedback from actual people who have been working in the educational field for a long time, seeing the trends and seeing what works and hasn't worked, and looking at the research that has been done by, you know, people before that, you know, shows these different trends and where law enforcement is going. So
where is law enforcement going?
that's a good question.
I'm full of them.
You know, I think a lot of people are misunderstanding what law enforcement is. People are trying to encompass a lot more, I guess, jobs into what law enforcement truly is.
And well, when people don't know what to do, they call the police.
So we're usually the first people to incidences, but people are looking towards to fix a lot more problems. So, you know, with the mental health issues and how things are being treated now, you know, how long does it take someone to be a psychiatrist? How long does it take someone to be a therapist? You know, where is all this stuff going? And we have 5 minutes to deal with these individuals and try to fix the issue that's going there. But it takes years for these people to actually recover from some of these, you know, mental health issues. So when I'm looking, you know, at law enforcement, where things are going with it, I'm actually trying to scale back a lot of what law enforcement is being, you know, have put on their plate, because we are not the person that's going to be able to fix all these issues. We are not someone that's going to be able to handle, you know, someone that has a huge mental health issue and try to fix that issue. We have to solve the issue. We have to solve the problem at hand that we're in front of, and then we need to be able to transition and hand those guys off to the proper people that can actually deal with that. So the way that law enforcement is going right now, and the reason why I, you know, decided to run, is I think we need someone to has a better understanding of what law enforcement is and stop being pushed around by the general public in regards to we need to fix everything. Well, we can't fix everything. We don't have the capabilities of fixing everything. We are the problem solvers at this point in time, but we need to be able to partner with our agencies or other programs around here that we can fix our society, but we cannot fix the problem for everybody's issues. And I just wish that we could have that understanding. We want to be there to help everybody in our community, and we will be maybe the facilitators to get you to the right programs that need to, but we need to understand what truly what law enforcement is. And it just seems like we're getting pushed down this road, and we're not going to be able to sustain it. We're not going to be able to win all these other situations because we're getting too spread out, and people are expecting way too much of us. We have to have the realization that, hey, there's a certain duty that law enforcement is, you know, that they have. And we have to have the capabilities of handling our duty, which is keeping the law, right? So when we come up to a mental health issue, or we come up to maybe a suicidal person, we have the ability to be able to relate with this person and calm them down, kind of get them to the right places, but then we're done. That's it. We don't have the capabilities to treat this person, to make sure that this person gets the help that they need. And I think that's where a lot of people are looking for us. Like, why didn't you help this person? Well, we did.
But only at the time of crisis.
Yes, only at the time of crisis, which is our job. And that's where a lot of people, I think, get mixed up when it comes to this stuff, is they expect us to fix all these other issues and to be this mental health professional, which I would say that that's almost a slap in the face to some of these people who have actually gone to schooling and got the training, who are the experts in this area. And that's where we need to, you know, to understand too, is like, we need to be able to transfer these people to the right places.
So what sort of ideas do you have, or do you think it's just too big of a job for just one person to coordinate this kind of web of social services to assist and follow through on people who are facing crisis?
Well, that's a good thing about me, is I am not that, you know, I'm not that man. I'm not the fix-all. I don't have the capabilities of it, but I, like you said before, I want to be the facilitator for that. The number one thing that I'm noticing around here is that we're not using a lot of the resources to our advantages in our community. And we want to put the burden back on the law enforcement and the taxpayers to be able to fix some of these issues. Well, there's a lot of nonprofits around here. There's a lot of different programs that are around here that we don't tap into. And I'm trying to figure out why. You know, why? And I don't know if it's just maybe because I'm, you know, have the ability to think outside the box of trying to take advantage of the programs and the people that are set up to help some of these, you know, other individuals that are in crisis. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why, you know, and every single time that I've asked someone, like, why are we not doing this? It always comes back to, I don't know, or this is how it's always been. Well,
that can be a very tiresome sentiment.
Yes. And I'm very tired of that because, you know, as a community is growing and as society is growing itself, I think so should the officers and their ability to be able to link people to different situations. Again, law enforcement is not the fix-all for everything. And that's where I really want to start, you know, getting people to realize that we are there to help in certain situations and get people to the right places. And even if it's, you know, a civil issue, we can get you to the, you know, to the right people. And, you know, the civil issue, you just point you in direction and let you go. From there, it's, you know, if you're having a mental health crisis or a drug addiction, you know, drugs are pretty big here. And I don't know if you know or not, but Beltrami County Social Services is months behind because they're getting way overloaded and way overworked. So, you know, there's different nonprofit organizations in town here that maybe we can partner with and say, hey, instead of you going to jail, why don't you transition to maybe going with these guys and helping things, you know, and going that way. Instead of, you know, maybe into a job of recovery instead of punishment, you know. And I don't, you know.
Sounds like a lot of moving parts where the judiciary would also need to be involved, as well as health and human services and mental health professionals and health care providers, insurance companies.
It's a big feat for, you know, everybody. But you got to, if you're going to take on a position like this, you know what you're going into. You know that, you know, you're not going to have the answers for everything. And you can't just be the person to fix everything as well. You have to have the ability to say, I can't do this, so I'm going to have to rely heavily on my partners, you know, the people around me. That's why you got to build a big, solid team. That's why you have to. I can tell you this right now. I understand addiction, but I never lived a life. So when me as a peace officer wants to walk up to someone and say, hey, you really need to get off these drugs, or hey, you really need to look towards something else, they're going to look at me like, you've never lived my life. You don't know how this is. You don't know how I have to wake up every day and, you know, feel for this. And, you know, and it consumes your thinking just because of that. Well, yeah, you're right. I don't. But there's other programs in town here that do realize that. Me working in narcotics right now, it's we can hit all the drug houses we want, but it's always going to open up a different avenue for someone else to come up here and sell, you know, illegal narcotics. So my view is, how are we going to stop this? And that is working on the demand. So you can't necessarily say that you're going to take all the drugs out of an environment, because you just can't. The flow is always going to come. So we have to work on the demand. We have to work on our own community and the need for that. So we really need to transition away from, you know, just trying to get the drugs out of here, because we're never going to stop it. We're just going to continue around in circles, chasing our tails again and again. And we're going to knock some big ones off. It'll slow down for a bit, but then it'll pick right back up. And it's the same cycle that we do every single time.
You never stop being in recovery.
You never stop being in recovery. So, again, here we come back to law enforcement. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to stop the incident right away, and then we're done. We're over with. That's it. That's what law enforcement is. It's not a rehabilitation program. We don't have the capabilities of doing that. It's just not our job, but people like to think that it is, and it is not.
And it also, unfortunately, falls upon a lot of the institutions within law enforcement, such as a county jail, being a stopgap for mental health and drug addiction services.
Yep.
So the Beltrami County Jail, it's a big one.
Yes, it is.
And there is going to be some work coming down on the line. There's talk of a new or largely remodeled jail coming up. I would like to hear your thoughts about I'm not sure if the decision will fall solely upon you, of course, if you were to be successful in your campaign. But just a little thoughts about the situation at the Beltrami County Jail and what you hope for its future.
Yeah. Just because you want to rebuild a jail, okay, it doesn't mean that you're going to fix all the issues. Do we need a revamp on our jail? I believe so, but that goes along, and I don't want to open up a firestorm, you know, of things that can occur with that. Have we been able to do any of the stuff that we want to do till now, or is it just get a new jail and we'll fix all the problems? You know, and I think that's what a lot of people are thinking as well. And I'm, you know, that's not me. So. Yeah, we're setting these people up for success to get out there and everything else, but what are we doing after? What are we doing before? You know, so is it just at the time that we're just dealing with stuff right now? Or is it, should we just be a little bit more proactive of a lot of things that we're doing? So if you have an individual who's addicted to an illegal drug that comes into your jail, that has a problem, they have nothing else, they're not a violent person, they just have a problem, okay? Is jail the best place for them? I don't believe so. I don't believe so, because that's going to... We're not a drug counseling facility, all right? So again, we don't have the capabilities of doing all this. Now, if you want me to, you know, ask for more money to be able to bring in some of these programs that are offered around the county, and you know, ask for just more money, that's great. Okay. Again, what are we going to do though? We only have these people for a short amount of time. So what are we going to do is set these people up for success afterwards. And that comes along with partnering with our other entities and other nonprofits out there that can actually take these people from jail and keep that strong, stable platform that they can continue on and be that shoulder that they need to lean on whenever they get that urge to use again. Okay? So again, we're going to refocus the way that we're looking at things, and we need to start being a little, if we as a law enforcement want to attack the drug problem, we have to partner with our community and work with our community to be able to get this stuff through. It's not just, all right, hey, we got this, and then we're going to move, you know. Yep, we're going to transition you here, but then what after, you know? If we truly care about our community and we truly want to make a difference here, we need to be able to say, hey, we understand drug addiction takes a long time. People are going to fall back in, you know? People are going to fall back into using. Yeah, if you've never been through an addiction, you don't know. And as many people I've talked to, it's just, it's hard. It's every single day, it's a struggle. You know, you ever talk about someone that's tried to stop smoking? Whenever someone else lights that up right by them, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, it's
there
like,
it goes.
Yeah, there it is. And they, you know, and they want to use again, you know, and they want to start smoking. But that's the same thing with a drug addiction, you know, and sometimes it's worse, though. It's truly worse. So what are we doing? What are some of the things that we can do? Well, we get them. We try to give them the best that we can while we're inside the jail. Let's make sure that we're working with the courts. Let's make sure we're working with social services to be able to partner with these other entities to be able to bring these guys in and say, hey, we're going to be with you throughout your whole probationary time, okay? Because a lot of people, what happens is they get on probation, they say, yep, I'm going to get off, and the next thing you know, they're falling right back into the same environment that they left. So it's really hard for them to be able to fight that urge to fall right back into the same cycle that they were. So let's use some of these nonprofits in town here. Let's use, if it's a religious deal, okay? There's a lot of religion-based programs out there. There's non-religious programs out there. There's faith-based programs out there. There's spiritual-based programs. Just in our own community, we have so many different deals that we can actually line up to actually give these people the environment to succeed. And, you know, I like the mentality of trying to transition these people, getting them housing, getting them set up, but we also need to provide them with some stability, you know, some stability. And, you know, it's not a law enforcement deal, and I'll be the first one to admit that I'm talking about trying to pull back what people believe in law enforcement is, but that's why we have to partner. We have to make sure that the courts or something that are looking into this, you know, that, hey, let's make sure that we, you know, bring these other people in to be able to help them throughout this time, you know. If they have probation for 2 years, well, let's make sure they're staying sober for those 2 years. They give them the best possible, you know, moment to, you know, the opportunity to succeed in their life. And let's try to bring people back in. Let's try to, you know, get these guys jobs and, you know, try to do the best we can with what we have. And, you know, that's why we definitely have to partner up with our community. This has to be a community event. This can't be just, hey, law enforcement is going to come in and fix this. All social services is going to, all probation is going to fix this. You know, we all have to be working as a full machine to be able to really make a difference here. And that's the difference, is we truly need to refocus on the way that we're doing things. And, you know, I'm fairly young, so a lot of these programs are going to take years, and I'm not looking at going anywhere. I'm not looking at, you know, doing a 4-year stint here and getting out. This is a community. We truly need to have someone that's working towards, you know, building for the future. So
I have a question. I know this has been a big a challenge for sectors all across the board, but staffing. Keeping adequate staffing. I know that it can be tough to fill your dispatch position, the dispatch positions, the correctional officer positions, and even the deputy positions. What ideas do you have to better recruit and retain law enforcement officials?
Well, that's a great question. I was actually just asked this question the other day, and again, we need to refocus on a lot of different things that law enforcement has been doing. As a leader, you know, in the community, we have to make sure that every single person in our care is cared for. Okay, so no one wants to come to work and get beat up on the inside and then beat up on the outside. Okay, and what I'm, you know, saying with that is, you know, law enforcement, we're getting so much from everywhere, right? So we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can on the inside to take care of our guys. Okay. All their employees, they need to know that when they come to work, that they're going to be supported in every single way. A lot of the other things that we have to do is we need to make sure that we are taking care of the mental health issues that are going on with law enforcement. You know, those are huge things. You have to feel you are being supported in these avenues in order to, you know, to want to come to work. What makes you want to come to the radio station right now? It's something you love, right?
I get to be very sassy all morning. Yes, I do love that.
But you get to be you. You get to be who you are, okay? So why can't we do that in law enforcement? Why can't I bring in people that want to be who they are and, you know, exploit that to better our community? You know, I don't want to change people into me. I want to take them and I want to build them into the community. So whenever we're talking about retention, a lot is going to come back from leadership. A lot of it's going to come back to what makes a person want to leave. It's simple. If I love what I do, I absolutely love what I do. What makes me want to go work for the sheriff down in Park Rapids, Coriacus? It's because no matter what happens, I know for a fact that he's got my back. He makes an environment down there that is it's hard to come by because in such a hostile working environment that we have just around the community. And I don't feel that we're that bad up here in Beltrami or Hubbard or anywhere up here, but you know, the vision of that, it's tough for some people to want to get into a position like that, you know, to want to go to schooling. Why would I want to go into law enforcement, you know, when you're hearing all this stuff about the administrations not backing their guys and then people worried about getting sued for doing their job and the administrations are not backing them? Like, there's a lot to come with that. But the biggest piece of this whole thing are you guys. It's the general public. Are you going to tell your kids right now that you should join law enforcement? Is that something that people want to do right now? Are they wanting to push their kids into law enforcement right now with all the stuff that's going on?
I can see how it could be a bit of a tough sell with all of the tension that have been in communities as of late around use of force. Now, I know that in late 2018, you were involved in an officer-involved shooting.
Yes.
You were justified in that use of force, of course, but I was just wondering what sort of perspectives that situation gave you in your law enforcement career.
And that's one of the biggest things, too, is you need to make sure that you're taken care of through these incidences, because it just one incident for mine, you know, it was one big incident, right? Okay. But there's a lot of people that take little nicks here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take a stone and you nick at it every single day, what's going to happen? Eventually might crack, right? Well, that's us. That's law enforcement. We go to these different situations all the time that just take a little nick out of us. You're doing CPR on a small child. What happens? That's a big thing. That's a big thing that attacks people, right?
Right.
So that's huge. That we have kids. We're people just like you are. We just wear a uniform. That's it. There's no difference. What happens if we walk into a place where a kid's abused? The mom is abused. The dad is abused. You know, and then you have to listen to these people that have been, you know, sexually assaulted. Like, all this stuff just gets to us, right? So that's why you need to make an environment in your law enforcement agency to be able to maintain a good mental health. And me being a person who's gone through something like that, I have the knowledge. I have the ability to help these people through it, because there's, you know, it's one of the worst things you can go through in law enforcement. So I've been through all these other calls. I've done CPR in babies. You know, I've gone to abuse kids. I've listened to the screams and the cries of parents and grandparents of save this person. You know, and sometimes we can't. So that all nicks at people. Well, you need someone with that experience and that knowledge to be able to help people get through this stuff. I've had a wide of experience about some of the things I've been in with law enforcement, and that goes to show that I can be there for a lot more people. I have the ability to understand that. back to the retention part of it, me being as young as I am, I'm going to make sure that I'm continuing down this this road for many years to come. I've earned the respect of individuals around the community, and people know that. What's going to bring people to me is that people know who I am. People know exactly what I believe in. So cops talk, just like anybody else. There's always a rumor mill. There's always something going on there, right? So if you're having a problem trying to bring people in right now, what's the talk? What are we doing wrong here? We can't fill the jail. Why? We have a school right here. Why aren't we partnering up with the school? There's a criminal justice program there. You know what that would give people? So if there's a way that we can get into Bemidji State University and be able to tap into some of those resources there, why haven't we done that? You got to want to come to work and love what you do. Do we have an environment like that right now? To be honest with you, I don't know. I think a lot of people still like coming into dispatch. I think still people like what they do. It's a calling for some, and it might be a job for others. How we recruit individuals to work in there is, again, changing the environment, changing things. If you're having a hard time trying to bring people in right now, and people can say that, you know, there's a low in work all over the place. Yeah, that's true. That just means you got to work harder. We need to think outside the box. If we're failing at the things that we're doing now, again, are we just wanting to go in circles? That's the difference here, is if we're having problems trying to bring people in, we need to change up a lot of the things that we're doing to adjust to the needs or the misunderstanding of law enforcement, or if the misunderstanding for dispatch. Dispatchers talk too. Jailers talk too. Everybody talks to friends. Are you going to want to bring someone in that's your friend and say, yeah, I really love my job, about 5 minutes, and then the rest of it's like, oh, I'm here. No, we got to change that mindset. As much as I've been through, I still love law enforcement. I still love it because it's not a 9-to-5. And we choose to get into law enforcement because sometimes it's a calling. Sometimes you just find your way into it. But once you get in there, you start to realize that you have such a great impact in our community. And it's such a great thing to have. But we don't exploit it like we should. And the way I want to recruit things in us, it's by conversations just like this, but also by changing the way that we're looking at things and by getting out these great communities, but also asking for the silent majority who usually sits back and just eventually things will go on. I need you guys to speak up. I need you guys to be who you are in support of us. I need you guys to come out there and say, hey, law enforcement is... it's a great thing. Yeah, we want our kids. We want our nephews. Yeah, we want our nieces. You know, yeah, we want our daughters in there. You know, I've got three daughters myself. And people say, you know, are you going to have your daughters go into law enforcement? Why not? I love it. I love what I do. So if I love what I do, why wouldn't I want my daughters to be in something that is a great? And I would love to have my kids work in Beltrami County Sheriff's Office. I do. If they don't want to go into law enforcement at all, that's perfect. But I'm still going to give them the opportunity. I'm still going to say, hey, this is a great deal. And I will never force anything on my kids because... that's good just luck. Not who I am. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anybody that has kids knows that, yeah, you can try, but, you know, we got to do the best we can. You know, it all comes back down to changing the mindset of the general public in order to use you guys to help us recruit.
I think especially since the murder of George Floyd in May of 2020, there's been quite a big shift for more transparency among police officers. And here in Bemidji, there's a police advisory commission.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on such a committee or commission or a group of people who work with the Beltrami County Sheriff's Office to help with some of those transparency issues?
As long as they have a full understanding of their duties, I agree with it.
Well, statute doesn't really allow any sort of commission like that to really have a whole lot of teeth to it.
And that's what I'm talking about. If they truly understand exactly what they're doing, they're supposed to be the extended voice of the people, and seeing kind of how things are going and you know, what are some of the concerns that we're having, so we can bring it back, so we can talk about it, see about the issues, you know, from there. But I think some people want to use that committee as a little bit more of an oversight than law enforcement. Well, I don't know if people really know, but everything that we do is recorded with a body-worn camera now. So if you want to know truly what we do on a regular basis, then just there it is. You know, if you have a problem with how individuals are being treated by law enforcement.
Right. We hear about a lot of these, like, complaints out in the community, but do law enforcement actually see many of those complaints submitted to their office?
Yes and no. You know, a lot of people don't feel that some of these complaints are being really heard. I would go to say that, you know, sometimes we need to take accountability for our own actions. You know, if people are getting pulled over for equipment violations, if people are getting pulled over for speed, well, who gave us the reason to do that? The state statute does. The state of Minnesota. Okay, and a lot of people go back to, oh, that's just targeting. We'll get it fixed. If you don't do anything wrong, law enforcement can't have an ability to have any contact with you, right? So when it comes back down to it, sometimes we as law enforcement officers, we can't necessarily fix everybody's concerns when it comes down to it. We just can't. I said this the other day, that I'm going to make sure that people are heard. I'm going to make sure that I hear everybody's concerns. I'm going to make sure that I have, that they have the ability to reach out to me. You know, if you say that you're being harassed, I'm going to ask you how. And if you say, well, this person just stopped me, okay, but how are you being harassed? What are the things that you feel like you're being harassed about? One of my biggest concerns is, and, you know, I'll be very open with this, is the amount of people that say a lot of false accusations and a lot of false information about police officers is huge. It's a big thing, just because a lot of people, again, don't really truly understand, you know, who we are. But then again, I have a lot of people that say a lot of bad things about me just because of my incident in 2018. That's public. That's out there. Everybody knows everything that happened with that. And still to this day, I still hear a lot of false accusations about that and a lot of false things about me and who I am and how I acted. And, you know, how do we do this? It's, you know, just bringing people in there, but also letting people know that, hey, what are your issues? If it's just because you got a ticket for something that you got warned for two or three times, or you got a speeding ticket your first time getting pulled over. Well, whose fault is that? Did I make you speed? I'm sorry. I didn't make you speed. You know, is that the deputies or officers, you know, fault? Do we say, hey, get into this car and drive? A lot of people feel that, oh, going 5 miles over the speed limit, I'm okay with.
I kind of question that definition of limit. But unfortunately, Deputy, we are just about out of time. Is there any final thoughts or where people can go to find out more about your campaign?
Yeah, votebedellduran.com. And then I have a Facebook, you know, Duran for Sheriff on Facebook as well. I do have a, you know, email address that anybody can get a hold of me. You can private message me on Facebook as well. If you want to know a little bit more about me, the webpage would be, I guess, the best place to start there. But I really appreciate it, and, you know, I'll let, just getting out here, you know, like I said, meeting new people, and it's been a wild ride so far, and I hope to continue going on. So
all right, well, thank you so much, Vidal Duran, candidate to be the next sheriff of Beltrami County.